Blog Talk Radio. Heim og kvad i sång i dig, vakna de kvedelige drenge, de høyre nyckeln på havet skri, for de er sovet i for lenge. Heim og kvad i sång i lund, vakna de kvedelige drenge, de høyre nyckeln den heien hun, for de er sovet i for lenge. Nyckeln han talar til styringsmann, vakna de kvedelige drenge, du styrer mitt skip på kristet land. For de er sovet i for lenge. Jeg vil med på kristet land gå, vakna de kvedelige drenge, den vene jomfrua vil jeg få.
Welcome, everybody, to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am your mysterious host. I'm one of your mysterious hosts, Golden Hawk, and the other enchanting and mysterious host is Janine Kimmel. Welcome, Janine.
Hello there. Hello, everybody. Happy to be here. Yes. Hello, mystery.
Yes, I do believe we have to invite the third guest here tonight. Mystery has shown up. Oh, yes. Mystery I believe, entered everybody's living room or wherever it is you're listening to the show tonight, live or archived. Mystery has come in, and it's an interesting thing talking about mystery, because it's almost like to explain her presence. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with her in the feminine to explain her presence. It's almost like we have to explain what's not there, mm-hmm. which is yet clear. Because you know, I have been having these experiences lately. I'm having them a lot in Scott's bathroom. I'm actually at my dad's house tonight, but while I'm in Scott's bathroom, like, I'll be brushing my teeth, and I'll look out the window, and there's all these fabulous trees in his backyards and his neighbor's yard. And there's one pine tree that just recently I noticed the way the branches work, there is a face that appears from more than one limb, more than one arm of the tree. And when the wind blows, the face actually starts changing its expression, because there's movement in the arms. And then I notice another one in, I think it's a dogwood tree, I'm not sure, but it's some flowering tree. In his backyard's neighbor, I noticed another face where, like, you know those pictures on Facebook that you'll see a face, but it's also space that makes up the face. It's not just the face is all in matter. It's the shading and the shadowing of some of the trees, but some of the face is really just, you know, it's just space that happens, you know, to be bordered by something. And
yeah,
well, those are the faces that I'm seeing. And, you know, I literally have said, oh, you're watching out for me, are you?
Yeah.
Both of the faces are smiley and very, I've tried to take pictures. I got to get Scott's camera because my Zoom isn't strong enough that you wouldn't know it if I just posted the picture, because it's not close enough. I don't even know, to be quite honest, if it can be photographed.
Mm.
I believe it can, though. I just need to get a stronger zoom. But I have definitely noticed it, and you know, it's funny because it is the mystery. It's like the mystery is showing up in, you know, humble me to say, I believe in all of our lives, and one of the things that's showing up in a pretty profound kind of way, it seems vertigo, the magnetics of the planets are going through a shift or a phase. There's a lot of accounts of people saying that their vertigo is kicking up. And, you know, like for me, I'm feeling it definitely. I mean, it's so funny. I'm feeling it in my third eye. You know, just space behind my eyes. I can, it's creating a nausea. I'm not doing the vertigo. I'm not spinning or, not that I haven't. You know, I've got, just so everybody knows, B complex is a natural alleviant. I don't know. I would take B complex when I was when I have vertigo, and I used to take Antivert, which is a prescription. I stopped taking that, and then took the B complex. And after like 3 days, I guess my body would get saturated. I would take about, oh, I don't remember the doses. Not much, but I would take it twice a day for 3 days. The spinning would stop. And then I would just keep taking it until the vertigo went away, because I don't know about everybody else, but vertigo for me, you know, didn't just come, stay, and leave. I have had it on and off since 83. But it seems that I don't do vertigo anymore. You know, I'm saying that with such tentative. Let me knock on my little piece of wood. You what?
No, it's funny. I don't do vertigo.
Well, and, you know, boy, life's gonna kick me in the ass for saying
that. No.
Well, indeed. I mean, because if it does, I have B complex in my car, in my house, at Scott's house. I have it. I'm prepared, and I definitely share that because at least it's somewhat of a natural way to work with it as opposed to a prescription. But there's definitely, you know, I was telling a girlfriend of mine, the sense that I have when the magnetic seem to go, you know, I don't know, a little haywire is, for me, the way I describe it is that I feel like I'm in a movie. And, you know, my senses of, it just feels like I have this sense of behind the scenes, you know, like, and, you know, it's like, you know, you're kind of looking around for the, you know, the director to go, cut, redo that. No, not, that's not working, Goldie. Let's try it again. Come on, start from, you know, this point in time. And of course that never happens, but the sense of that, where there's just a sense of, a depth to my experience of my reality. It is different.
That's the word I was thinking. When you said, this is, you know, so typical, but I was thinking sense and you said sense. And, you know, I think that it's funny that the mystery is so, you know, if there was an explanation, it would be that there is, the mystery is here, not that it wasn't before, but I think that that feeling you're feeling is because reality is such a subjective term that I think as you know, you shift, you went through, like, as you said, the F5, you know, you moved through something very powerful and faced it and came out the other side. And I was supporting some people going through things just when you were going through some things. And then you just sort of feel this, you know, you're kind of, which I like, flying by the seat of my pants. But there's this sense that it's like, you know, a shift in reality. It's like, does this really make sense? And it's like, well, it's not about that making sense. It's about just being, because I was saying to you before that I was listening to Robert Young just to get some, I don't know, some good words before the show. And I was thinking, oh, it's a good thing I'm going to talk through this with Goldie, because I don't know where I am in that. The truth is, I think that's the mystery. And if you can be okay with that or not, that's,
right,
you know. But
right.
This is the space of the mystery of, as Robert Young said, not trying to explain it, just experience it, just be in it. And, you know, then I thought to myself, you know, that's such a place of courage, which, of course, you really, you know, faced, tested your courage last weekend. And, you know, I've been really talking to myself about courage and that when I was talking to you on Thursday on the show, what really struck me was that it became clear that it's the trust timeline or it's the control timeline. And, you know, and the trust timeline is being in the mystery. I mean, not to say that the person who's in control isn't actually in the mystery, but they're trying to control it. So it's
exactly.
A very different reality. It's a very
yes.
different reality. And I was, you know, when you were talking
about... That's a brilliant insight. Brilliant.
Thank you. And isn't it amazing when you don't know what you're saying, what one says? Because the truth
that's
is...
That's a genius fly, Janine.
Because, you know, I was going, it's so amazing to be somewhat disoriented and yet connected at the same time. And I'm like, there it is again. It's that polarity thing, you know.
Exactly.
And you were talking about seeing the faces in the foliage and, you know, the spaces between the leaves, how they create the face with the foliage. And, you
yeah.
know, that happens
yep.
to me too. And then I said, oh, isn't it funny that just yesterday I went through a whole kind of changing of my pictures on Facebook just out of nowhere. And then I put another face hidden in the leaves and I said, the things that are hidden or hidden things. And, you know, I think that it's not about trying, and we know that, but it's just that the place you and I are at and what we were saying before going on, we were like, well, we're just here, and so is the mystery, and we're showing up, and I know that when we process, we're actually going to, you know, it's going to sort of fall into place more for us, and that's going to be great because I think that it's amazing to fly by the seat of your pants. And, you know...
I agree.
And there's something... I think that's the new art, you know? It's just being in the mystery, and that's it. And, you know, you notice things, and you
well,
know,
what,
and later...
being in the mystery, but not running to the doctors. Being in the mystery and not panicking when, you know... mysterious
yeah.
things start happening, you know, whether you're running to your psychic or you're running to your doctor or you're running to your partner or you're running to your parents. And I'm not saying, you know, we have to cut connections.
No.
But it really is about, you know, kind of just standing in your experience. You know, I mean, did I cut you off? If I cut you off, I apologize.
No. You know why? Because it's so funny. This paradox thing keeps coming up for me because I found that, you know, in the past, like, 4 days, I've kind of wanted a lot of space around me and be quiet. And at the same time, I could tell that I was yearning for certain connection. So it's like, There it is again. It's like, like the both end. It's the chicken and the egg. It's like, you know, Jay, what do you want? It's like, well, you know, I need
well,
a lot of space.
Both. Well, you want both. You don't have to choose. You want space and you want connections.
Right. But these are, you know, you would think, I mean, it's so funny to come on the show sometimes and literally be in a process and know I'm in a process and just be in the process on the show. And
right on,
you and
Very
I seem
honest.
To do that. You and I seem to do that in waves. It's like, you know.
Well, right on. That's truth.
And we're showing up in process. It's like.
Well, because it is. I mean, it literally is. It's almost like, you know, there was a huge integration for me last week. Huge. I've never experienced the clarity and the significance of the integration of self-loathing. I mean, I can say it now, you know, and I could always say it, but I really can say it from the integration of self-loathing is more self-love. I'm experiencing self-love is absolutely, it's almost like it's the panacea of, at least, you know, it's like I want the knowledge, but I'm really realizing that the knowledge, you know, is, it only gets me so far to know the details of the universe and life and how it works. And it's not to say that I am not tickled, intrigued, and motivated and inspired by knowledge. But the integration that is happening is not about the knowledge. The integration that is happening is about, it really is about the self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and not the, you know, romantic novel kind, but the kind where you sit or stand, but you're like in this space.
Or lie down.
Or lie down. I am doing that a lot. You know, like where you can't form a sentence. You can't, you know, it's like, it was such an amazing show last week, and, you know, it was only on Thursday. It wasn't like a whole week ago. You know, but it's like, you're absolutely right that the process then begins, okay, so a piece, because do I believe that I'm completely integrated in self-love? No.
Yeah.
So, but a piece came in, and by golly, you know, rah, I'm working to have the pieces come in, and the pieces are coming in. And I also don't believe it's happening as pieces. I think it's almost like my awareness and my attention are going to certain pieces. It seems now that my body seems to be more of the attention because I had the significant example of my car. My car, you know, my car didn't shit the bed, but holy moly, was she thick as a dog. You know, I have a four-cylinder car that was running on three cylinders, and coils were not well, and spark plugs were eroded, and water pumps were leaking. I mean, you know, she was moments away from the ER. You know, and I'm going...
Yeah.
Well, so it's clear that, see, from my philosophy, you know, just so everybody knows, the car represents our body, the computer represents our mind, and the clothes we wear represent our self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
This has been something that was introduced to me through the Crimson Circle, and it was just a belief that felt right to me. So I don't pay attention to it constantly, but, and believe it or not, it's usually my computer is really, you know, the viruses and the upgrades and, you know, the headaches, so to speak, usually come from my computer. And when Yoda, you know, when I found out just how bad she was, and I'm telling you, she was still drivable even when she went, you know, she kaplunked. I mean, she got me home. Bless her heart. You know, I think me and my mom have that. I think my mom absolutely passed that on to me. that you can, you know, just so everybody knows, my mom would work two jobs and get chemotherapy on her lunch hour. I mean, she was a bull.
Yeah.
Bullish.
Yeah.
Bullish on chemo. But so we have that, you know, we have that, you know, get the hell out of my way, a job needs to get done kind of attitude on some things. And it's in the car. And I truly do thank my car all the time for getting me to where I have to go. I'm always so grateful. If you're going to clunk, you know, clunk someplace that's, even though I have AAA. So, but anyways, so the body has been, body consciousness has been coming up for me. And, you know, and tonight, I mean, I'm definitely, like I said, there's stuff going on in my head. I just feels... You know, here's another funny part, of course. You know, George Kavassalis, who's, you know, absolutely a guide for me, has recently released his chakra system. He's, you know, he kind of explained it. You can even see his posture is different in his latest video than it has been. And the way he explains it, I mean, of course, he goes into more depth, but the general idea is that the chakra system is basically an overlay on the unified field, which is underneath. I completely and totally resonate with that. Chakras create, you know, separation in our energy. First, second, third. The minute you're talking numbers, it's separation. You know, it's either your whole system is running or there's parts of you that are, you know, separated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very much intent on experiencing and through intention and whatever it takes to experience myself as a unified field. And I'm cracking up because I'm letting go of the chakras. It's not my goal to get to the 39th chakra, you know, on the 557th dimension. I want to let go of all my chakras. And since stating that, you know, pretty, you know, not prophetically, emphatically,
mm-hmm.
Well, there's all sorts of movement going on in my head, in my belly, in my heart. Okay, now that I don't want to deal with chakras, there is movement in my chakras, which I guess is ultimately, the way I'm picturing it is there is a sheet that's being lifted out of my energetic field,
mm-hmm.
And that sheet has my energy body separated in the seven chakras. But once the sheet is lifted out, you know, I will flow as a unified chakra. And so I'm just cracking up because, you know, of course, I renounce the chakra systems, and now there's movement in my third eye, there's movement in my heart. You just kind of, you know, it comes when you're not looking for it. I'm finding the timing on that really quite humorous.
Well, you know, I mean, what I love about this conversation is that first of all, you know how in some natural way, and I love Carl Jung, in my own reorganizing, reinventing, reestablishing, rearranging, whatever's happening, the old way of describing the human psyche, the human this, the human that, is sort of not really, I'm not feeling there, I never really was, but I'm, you know, ego, subconscious, unconscious. It's just like, for me,
I think
when, and this is, you know, very, to me, like, I just sort of felt like, whoa, you want to go here? And I'm like, yeah. So, okay, so when you start really inviting in or entertaining the idea or the concept or the experience of freedom, why wouldn't it make sense that you're no longer attached to belief systems that explain our systems based on an old paradigm or a paradigm believed by the masses or created in a time when maybe that worked for that time? But, you know, so when you move into a field of freedom or, you know, that it's so funny that you can experiment and go, I believe in chakras. I don't believe in chakras. I have chakras. I don't have chakras. It's like, is it really, like, really, what is...
I'm a skipper.
Like,
no, I'm not.
No, but it's such a great experimentation in you're none of those things. Like, you know, or, you know, or it's... Because
it,
I...
Or you're all of it.
Or maybe you don't even know, like, Ayala Chen, you know Ayala Chen who lives in Israel?
Yeah, our beautiful friend from Israel.
I posted, I liked something that she said, and it was very playful, but it was like, I smile when I can't explain something or I have no idea what's going on, or, you know, because it's like, it was so great because all of a sudden, what does freedom mean? Freedom means you're not buying into the old belief systems or they no longer have you, hold you. I mean, if you think about what is shifting in reality, it would just make sense that you have every right and freedom to no longer have to identify with that. Because whose truth is that? Wait, like, whose truth is that? It's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Whose truth is that, you know? So, yeah, and so it's just so amazing to not have any answers, but also to know that you don't have to be any of those things, because to try to explain, you know, and that's why the mystery really, it's like, I love that I said earlier, you know, and let the mystery do the rest on the radio show tonight. I had no idea how much I was really aligned with the fact that, you know, it's like all bets are off. It's like
pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty much. It's like,
well, because you know what it forces us to do? It forces us to just speak of the now. That's,
right.
That's what we're doing. I mean, we're
and
just
freedom.
More
freedom
and more
allows
our shows.
You,
oh, go ahead.
No, freedom allows you to. What is freedom? It's like, or you know, when I started thinking about to be infinite, it was like, he was almost like, "Are you sure you want to go there?" It's like.
Yeah,
I'm going there. I'm going right through freedom to infinite.
Well, I think freedom is what allows you to get there. You know,
that's
what's being withheld, so to speak, with all the, you know, Illuminati stuff. It's essentially, you know, there's blocks, so to speak, in the road, and it's so funny because to choose freedom, you know. Like, it reminds me of when I did the ayahuasca, and I definitely only believe I was in the I was in my mind for the ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see God, you know. I saw a mechanics of the way my mind works, you know, the whole the building of boxes, you know. Jesus, does it get any more mental? And don't get me wrong, I was happy. At least my boxes were pretty colors and had some, you know, really interesting creative things to them. Because my mind is creative, but it's still my mind. And I don't believe this journey is about our mind. I don't believe what's going on in the mystery is something only mental. And I don't believe that it's a physical thing. You can go to the doctor and go, give me a pill and make it better. You know, but see, I had a thought.
Oh, wait, you know, and you know what this reminds me of? I mean, this really reminds me of.
I know, but take it away, babe, because God knows.
No, it'll come back. But you know what this reminds me of? What is it then that you know, where I go? Virtues, trust, you know. Trust, love. I mean, those are like, I don't know any other way when you're in these places that, you know, you're describing that like the mystery, which, you know, I had this teacher who I adore who rocked my world when she said, she had unshakable trust in the mystery. And it really, when she said that in 1994, it scared me because because it hit such a chord of truth in me that I knew that would be something I would be challenged to have unshakable trust in the mystery as well. And I, you know, I just in some ways was not there yet, and I knew I would face that. And right. You know, and in what gets you there? Not, you know, it's like courage, trust, you know, hanging in there,
it's so interesting because the people screaming the loudest about the Illuminati and Monsanto and the elite, you know, I mean, the truth is they're still fighting, you know, they're fighting the good fight, you know, and I'm not saying that these things don't need to be pointed out. I'm all about pointing them out.
Right.
But there really is a difference between pointing them out and falling, you know, falling right back into, you know, it's like the high and mighty, you know, the righteous are coming out of the woodwork right now. I mean, it's like everybody's got an opinion about something that sucks. something that's been so terrible, and, you know, very few have the opinion of, yeah, and this part's me too.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
like,
a good point.
Well,
I mean,
you mean
you're explaining me as well, like not me, but I'm saying you
self.
Mean when you
I'm
when
explaining
you're,
self.
Right. What it's, so it's the classic when you're explaining them or, you know, the other, you're actually explaining self.
as well as other.
Well, it's got to be a part. You know, remember, we all have reptilian in us. We
right,
all,
right.
Because, like, one of the things that I posted today was, you know, I was listening to Santos Fibonacci. He's an interesting dude. I have to give him more. I got to give him more time. And I was kind of listening to him, but kind of half-assed listening to him. You know, playing on Facebook and reading other things. But one of the things that he brought to my attention, which I just had this awareness of, like, oh, you know, isn't it interesting? Organized crime and organized religion are basically the same thing.
I saw that post. Yeah.
Yeah, and
well,
my
dear dad
to actually
said
put organized
like 1967.
Pardon?
My dear father said that, Frank. He said that as I was going to Catholic school and in fifth grade or fourth grade. He's like, religion is the most corrupt organization, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. And then I'm like, well, why am I going to Catholic school?
To learn
the both end, you know, it's like, okay.
Well, and
know.
That's it. Well, yeah. I mean, that is actually it. And it was so profound because I'm like, you know, I guess, you know, there's just a witnessing of all of it, including myself, because I am definitely the poster child for the shadowy sides of ourselves, you know, and yet there really is a fine line because, like, I have a dear, dear friend whose boyfriend is a very angry man, and I'm so grateful that he's not angry towards my girlfriend. He's angry at the rest of the world, but he's not angry because she used to attract angry boyfriends who were also angry at her. Now she's got an angry boyfriend, but he's not angry at her, and I'm cool with that, you know, clearly. I mean, I love my girlfriend, and, you know, so she gets to work out these anger issues. But the thing is, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, he unfriended me, and he was writing these things about, you know, how she accepts him for exactly how he is, and really profound stuff. Because my interpretation of his anger is, he just bitches and moans, but he doesn't take responsibility. And he's a vet. And so, you know, there's this interesting definition of what I believe he's entitled to from his perspective, in the blaming of the government and things of that nature. And, you know, I was like, you know what, that's cool. Me and my girlfriend are tight. Me and her boyfriend don't have to be. I respect him, but the truth is, because I found when he was in my presence, I was always trying to bring it back to self. I didn't accept him for just being somebody pissed off. You know, I did have that, and it's like, huh? Because, and I was thinking to myself, well, you know, I accepted in Scott, and okay, that's my limit. You know, everybody else is pissed off boyfriend. Well, you know, listen, I can only do this with my boyfriend. I don't want to have to be around everybody's boyfriend who's pissed off for whatever their reason. I can accept it with Scott. So, you know, I have boundaries around this and limitations around this as well. And because there really is, you know, I would never tell people not to be angry. And yet, I have been around people who, you know, who are very angry and are stuck in that anger. And that's extremely challenging for me to be around that as well. If you're stuck in your anger, personally, you know, if all you're doing is bitching about it but not moving, because I know the movement that can take place right now because I'm doing it.
But, yeah.
And that's also, you know, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else for doing it. I just know it can be done because I'm doing it. It's simply, it can be done. And if you choose not to do it, I'm more than happy to, you know, have a small group of friends. I don't need a large group of friends.
The anger thing is really interesting. It's around me too. You know, I do therapy, and obviously, you know, people. I meet people with anger, and whether it's like, you know, not necessarily the person I'm doing the therapy with, but people who, you know, are related to them. And you know, it's
I mean, it's probably one of the biggest teachers for the people who are around and witnessing the anger. And I mean, it is hard not to judge it or be repelled by it. But I guess, you know, let's go back to my famous shopping cart lady story. You know, yeah, I mean, that's such a loaded topic of, you know, what is that about? And I don't have to figure it out, and you don't either. But it is very prevalent. And I think, you know,
well, I think it's prevalent that it's coming out now.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people at one point could hold it back, and not just women, everybody. And
I
think at
this
point, yeah, I don't think there is holding it back anymore. I think, you know, it's the whatever the shifting that's going on. Part of that shifting is, you know, because there was once a time where I was standing in line returning some hair rollers, and. There was a woman standing behind me, and there was some stuff going on that it took longer than, you know, the average transaction to return something. And the woman standing behind me, I could tell, I don't think she consciously did it, but she said out loud, you know, "All right already, come on," or something to that effect. And I looked at her and I went, she just said that out loud. I don't think she meant to say that. You know, and I looked at her and I went, "Patience, patience. When I'm complete, you'll be next." You know, because I'm not, you know, confrontation from a stranger just, I mean, you know me, bring it, bring it. I find it theatrical and amusing. Because when I went back to the car, I was cracking up going, she was kind of a refined woman. You know, her hair had just been done. You could tell, you know, it was, you know, she was an older woman. And you could just tell she couldn't hold it in anymore. She verbally had to say something. And it was like, I think that's happening a lot. And, you know, it's happening to little old ladies, and, you know, it's happening to little old men, and it's happening to all of us. It's happening to all of us. And
no, it is, you know. And it's just an interesting place to be when it's either right there in your face or you're, you know, in the same room with the person. I don't know. It's just it is. I think much more visible. You know, I was standing in the post office and just waiting for my turn, and I had my phone in my pocket, and it wasn't even on loud, you know, but it was doing sort of that vibrating thing, and then it has this neat little, like, almost sounds Asian, but it's really, it's not, like, annoying, and but this guy in front of me, like, he was in my pocket, so it was very muffled, but he kept eyeing me like, aren't you going to do something about that? You know, and I was kind of like, I was amused, but then I really realized that, boy, you know, was he triggered by the fact that I wasn't going to do anything with the phone, because I find answering the phone actually more annoying, you know, when you're standing right. So I just, you know, it was so not annoying to me, and then I kind of went up to do something with the postmaster or whoever, and you could tell he was kind of edgy, and I was like, like, wow, you know, I wasn't affected, but there are other places where I can see that there are a lot of angry people. And,
exactly. On the roads, I see, and it's not necessarily angry people. I mean, it is anger, but it's also the impatience of people. Like, I can literally, you know, I play with them, you know, like, because I felt it, you know, where somebody's turning in and they're, like, turning really slowly, you know, and you're standing out there in traffic. And, you know, I said, come on, are you kidding me? I got to get it. And then, you know, and then life will go to me, play it, Goldie. Because I'm a catalyst. This is what I do, and I'm not ashamed to say it. So I will pull somebody behind me, and, you know, he or she, it's definitely in the women too, they'll have been riding my ass, you know, and I'm getting ready to pull into a parking lot, and I'll just go slow, and I'll watch them, and I'll laugh because I'll go, oh, I just screwed up their whole day.
I know. But is it that easy to screw them up? You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's exactly it. I mean,
it's like the little phone.
Giving up your power away. Well, again,
like I could have been whistling, or there could have been a bird chirping outside. It could, you know, it didn't necessarily have to be my phone. And it's like, is that going to annoy you too? You know, it's like, it was just right. There was just something in the air that I could feel that I was, and I was being a catalyst, and I was kind of like
exactly,
yeah. And I wasn't going. See, here's where I was holding my space, just because he kept giving me the eye. Like I wasn't
right.
I wasn't going to muffle my phone just to appease this person.
Right.
It was like,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it was like, hey, buddy, you can handle it. It's okay, you know. It's just a little song.
Because it is okay.
It's just a little song.
Shoot all the songbirds. Damn it, I'm having a bad day. No, we won't shoot bluebirds today, though. Bluebirds today can stay.
Totally chirp along. Yes, yes, yes.
Bluebirds
will be showing up later, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's already showing. I mean, because it is so funny how, you know, when I hear people in arguments, or not even necessarily, if you've ever, and I'm sure all of us have heard this, if we've ever heard a friend describing a spouse or a partner, you know, after a fight, and especially if they're not a, you know, they haven't entered the space of, you know, self-responsibility and self-awareness, you know.
Yeah.
You just, because, I mean, it's an interesting thing, you know, when I said that in the beginning of the show, that life feels like I'm, you know, in my own movie.
Yeah.
Even though the director hasn't, you know, jumped out at me and gone cut, or, you know, redo Goldie, redo, there is this sense that I'm like, you know, like I have my own cues. It's like, okay, here's the mental paradigm playing out. That would be my friend, you know, who's trying to analyze her boyfriend's activities based on what her next move will be, or how she's going to feel, and I'm watching her gears turning, they're grinding, for God's sake. You're just watching it, you know. And it's like, because I think that's, and I'm getting the clarity actually just as we're speaking, is for me, when I say that I feel like I'm in the movie, it just seems like I have this interpretation of, you know, okay, this person, you know, he's got a short fuse, he's just ready to blow at anything, you know, and this one's analyzing, and, you know, I see it, but really it's from a neutral position. You know, and it's not always this way. I mean, because clearly I went through my, you know, my big integration last week, but it seems like there's a grace period. That you know, when you're starting the next level of integration, it is a neutral thing where you just kind of, and I'll be honest, and I still, you know, like my girlfriend who analyzes her boyfriend's stuff, you know, I mean, I love her, but truth is, you've got 10 minutes to play this with. I just don't have the patience. I don't really care about his next, this is a, as Carolyn Mace would put it, this is a use of energy that just doesn't work for me. You know, I'm much more comfortable in the imagination, initiation art energy. It flows more. It's more comfortable. There's not as much polarity, if any. You know, it's like, because I'm definitely realizing that, you know, seeing these things, these polarized experiences, but, you know, not really needing to be right or wrong, or, you know.
No, it's so interesting.
Good girl,
though.
Bad girl. I mean, who gives
no,
a shit?
No, but you know what's so interesting about that? Because you just described to me, because I'm getting clarity, too, as you're talking, which is so great, because I was like, you know, I like when this happens as we're speaking, because yeah, because what you just described was, that is the mystery, where, you know, you moved through something on your own process, and then you come out the other side, and you almost have, you are in a new a shifted reality, so to speak, because you're
indeed
different.
A new timeline.
You're different.
Yes.
You're different.
Yes.
Okay, so that's one thing. But what I just noticed as we were talking, that I'm like, isn't it amazing that, you know, I never really, like, until I told you the story about the post office, and who would think that in a 1 minute moment in the post office, that there was something really significant there, just as the shopping cart lady experience, which is completely unpredictable. But in these moments, there's now a noticing for me that you know, okay, so how I was neutral because, you know, the shopping cart lady that glared at me that I didn't move, put the shopping cart where she had approved of. She got out of her car and she moved it, and it was, and you know, and there was this moment where I thought, should I do anything here? And then I did, and I just moved on. But it was such a significant, like, moment of hostility towards me that I told you about it, and then we, you know, we shared it on the radio. But then, even in this very, you know, instant, which of course I am a big noticer, so I notice these things. So, you know, it's okay. Like I'll hear a line in a movie and it'll be a game changer. So, okay, so I'm in the line and I just realized that him looking at me with each little tone that was coming out of my pocket, I didn't react. I just, you know, that was his thing, not mine.
Right.
So there, that's like, you know, I didn't realize what a valuable experience that was until I told you the story, because I could have turned it off and went, oh, sorry. And then I would have been somewhat manipulated or allowed myself to be manipulated by someone who was angry about, you know, what, you know, so there
right,
I
like
was.
Like, it's your responsibility for how his experience
right.
is being in line with you.
Right. And
that's his responsibility, just
right.
like yours is yours.
Right. So it's very interesting for me to just notice in this moment that, you know, here is another experience where, you know, how do you respond? I didn't think about how I responded. It was natural for me. I just stood there and I was kind of like, I don't know, I was like, whatever, you know, but yeah, it's so amazing.
Well, I would even say you responded consciously, because in all honesty, the conditioned response was to turn it off. Society teaches us, you are responsible for that man's interpretation of his time in line. So turn it off if that's annoying you.
Yeah.
And
yes.
You said, you know, you flipped the bird, so to speak, and went to
in my own
style.
In my own style.
I'm
going to
be
way.
Authentic. Right.
Yeah.
What, hey, dude, you know, deal with it. Deal
right.
with it.
Or not, you know, but like, you know, so
right.
yeah, so it's just so, you know, it's so amazing to me that one moment, and then I get clarity on it, and then it's like, you know, I did say to someone, it's not necessary. It is how you, you know, it's how you are in a situation that you want to observe. Like, so that's just so,
yeah,
that took me by surprise to be able to, like, that I didn't respond to him. I wasn't, and that's kind of
you did respond, but not the way he,
right.
not the way he expected.
Not
you
in
did,
a conditioned
was a conscious
response. Yeah,
right
and you know,
on.
It's funny
right.
because I'm having some other, you know, indirect, indirect communications with another angry person who I'm not responding either. And that's such a great, I love that you got that word conditioned, because that's what that person who's directing the anger at the person is looking for, is a conditioned
right.
response. So
right.
it's just, I mean, that's just interesting.
But you know what those are, right? You know what are these conditioned responses? What ultimately is happening from the director's cut?
Tell me.
Energy. This is the feedings of life. In other words,
okay.
I scare
right.
you, and then in your fear,
I give you a look,
would,
or I send you a nasty whatever.
And you respond, and
right.
then I feel pumped. I
yeah.
have, you know, I've gone to the post office, and I've had my feeding where,
yeah.
you know, in your sovereignty,
he didn't get fulfilled because he's, you know, kind of scratching his head at the very least going, why didn't that woman listen to me? Why didn't she?
No, that's really wonderful. That's really good. That's a really big noticing because remember how I even asked your opinion the other day about Goldie, what do you think about me responding or not to this angry person? And then, you know, we processed it, which, of course, I enjoy doing with you. And then as I had been, a non-response was really what felt right for me. But you're right. I think that's so interesting. It's about energy responses, conditioned energy responses, feeding another. And I think that awareness is such a game changer. And it's interesting when it's your natural response because you're not conditioned to do that. And that really is.
And might I add, the chakra system is conditioned to respond to that. The unified field is not. So you really are an exemplar. You know, it's an example of the unified field. Because, you know, you didn't basically tell him to go scratch. You didn't shut it off. You just basically sat there and let him own his stares. In other words, he hit the ball in the tennis game and you just let the ball be hit. You didn't return it.
Right.
I mean, which they say is the ultimate way not to play a tennis game.
Which probably, you know, is like a real Obi-Wan Kenobi move where, you know,
exactly.
It's really a non-response. It is a response, but it's non-response. It's kind of like,
well, it's not
like,
violent. It's not aggressive.
Yeah.
It's basically allowing their energy to kind of just fade off and die. It doesn't hook the way, because it's a hook. The look is looking for the, you know, it's looking for the fish, and the fish is you being nervous and shutting it off, you being intimidated.
Right,
as as you going, hey, listen, buddy, what's your fucking problem?
Right, they're all feeding.
That too.
Yeah. So that's wonderful, because, like, that's a real lesson for me. That's a real getting it. I just,
right,
you know,
on.
Yeah, I like
right
that.
On, babe.
Yeah.
You know, because you're totally triggering me that this was another thought I had recently. I was driving home from work, and this whole idea of good girl, bad girl, good boy, bad boy.
Okay.
And how the conditioning of, you know, good girls wanting to be bad girls and bad girls wanting to be good girls. And there was something that was hitting me that, you know, that there's the feeding, of course, you know, the good girls judging the bad girls and the bad girls judging the good girls, and how authenticity is that you're going to have both. You know, there's going to be some things you're going to be, you know, perhaps, you know, more delicate or more polite in, and there's going to be other areas that you're going to be raunchy and raw.
Right.
And that, in authenticity, that would absolutely, you know, that's perfect. There's perfectness in that. It's not an either or. It's the chicken and the egg. And as well as you can wake up one day and be a good girl and wake up the next day and be a bad girl. You know, just like with the belief systems and the truth constantly in flux and in fluidity and very malleable, so would, you know, the direction based on inspiration, you know, because God knows, the first thing that comes to my mind is how many of us have been tempted, if not experienced, being the other woman or the other man in somebody's life. You know, I mean, to me, that's, you know, the ultimate bad boy, bad girl is being the, you know, but, you know, you look at it, and I mean, I have done it twice. And by the way, I've gotten the man both times. Not necessarily. I didn't get Scott quite as easily. Scott took me patience. But, you know, I look at that and I see the truth is, you know, because people are like, well, then don't be surprised if it happens to you. Well, I'm not. I understand the dynamics of relationships so much more deeper because I've been the other woman where I've got the man first off, and then I've been the other woman where, you know, 2 years Scott was still with his ex-girlfriend before it was my turn. And to love a man from afar is incredibly painful. So, of course, the universe already gave me that experience from both ends. And the truth was, when she left, when Scott called me up, I could have said, okay, I've had enough, I don't want to deal. And I went, okay, it's my turn. All right, I'm ready. Let's play. you know, it's because I really do believe, because this is something that I was saying to you earlier in the call. The beauty of right now, and I mean this, you know, with a capital B, the beauty of right now is that we are all creating our experiences. I mean, not everybody's doing it consciously, but my belief and my truth is that we're all creating our experiences. So everything that's happening is so self-reflective. Everything that's happening is self-reflective, whether, you know, whether it's something that you want or you're experiencing something that you don't want. You know, whether it's, because, again, this is the mystery. What I love about the mystery is, you know, I'm looking at the trees, and do I think it's a coincidence that both of these tree faces are smiling at me? No. No, I don't think that's a coincidence, because I really am an inspired person. I'm an optimist. I've always been an optimist. You know, now, and that's not to say that, quote, unquote, I'm living a happy life. Because I'm not. I'm living a very a deep felt life, a deep emotional life, from everything from ecstasy to tragedy. I mean, I'm living and experiencing all of it, and I personally I love it. I love the diversity of it, because inherent in diversity is creativity, and you've shown me how, you know, a good story has characters that, you know, there's going to be shadows and dark sides and villains. And I'm not afraid to be a villain. I'm not afraid to be a villain. I'm not even afraid to be a good girl, even though I don't want to be holy. And I mean W-H-O-L-E-Y. I don't want to be holy one or the other. You know, I want to keep you guessing. My story is going to keep you guessing. So I'm going to be both.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'm going to piss you off, and sometimes I'm going to bend over backwards to help you. I mean, whatever the moment, you know, whatever the moment stirs up for me. And I hope that, you know, the same goes for you and, you know, for the relationships I have, because I don't want a predictable relationship.
Well, you know,
I want an adventurous relationship, because I love adventures. I do.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, well, the beautiful thing is I love how you're bringing up movies and storylines, because it's so appropriate for tonight anyway.
Right.
But you
yeah,
know,
right?
But
yeah,
you know,
I didn't even think that.
But the thing about, you know, being authentic and being in the moment and not having all the answers and being willing to let things go and entertain what is freedom. None of those things are, quote, the interpretation of safe. You know, that's, you know, if you want to live in, you know, the safe paradigm, which, of course, I don't really, you know, what is that anyway? I don't know. But, you know, the depth of character that even I know what makes a great story, it never is safe. The hero always has to move out into the unknown, always. The hero has to go through many different, you know, transformations of possibly, you know, starting out and, you know, being completely in self-doubt, which is one of my big themes in my stories, is to go, you know, from complete self-doubt into, you know, confrontation of the abyss. And then, you know, you gain confidence by facing that part of yourself. That's my theme a lot with when I write stories. You know, and you know, the irony, of course, is that those characters are me, you know, and
yeah.
So, yeah, of course. And, you know, the reflection, and I push myself to create these characters of the shadow side, and they're me too. And even with my co-creator, David, you know, we knew that when we created this monster called Ash Eater, that he was an aspect of ourselves. You know, this
yeah.
wasn't like, oh,
yeah.
look, the bad guy. You know, the bad guy was us as well. And you know, it's so, that is life, you know, and that is a great story.
Well, and especially right now.
And
know,
by the way,
right
that
now,
is. Yeah.
There's no hiding the bad self.
Well, right, but, you know, if you're on an adventure, which, of course, you know, the best, you know, Peter Pan, when they're like, you know, when Peter Pan is facing death, he goes, it's like, you know, the greatest adventure of it all, which is true, is the, you know, is true, but which, you know, is what everybody, if possibly, you know, I was just wondering this, I was going, ooh, maybe that's what anger is, the fear of death.
I think you might have something there.
I know, because I was like, ooh, is anger the ultimate fear that death could just be around the corner and, you know, let's fight about it, or it's the flight or fight, but I'm going to choose fight, you know, and
that's it,
you know.
Yeah,
Because if you truly, you know, an adventurous soul, and you know death is right there, you know, it's the card always on the table. And then if you know that, you know, we're infinite beings, and, you know, it's like, okay, you know.
What the song said, though, you can't know you're an infinite being through life. You can only know it through death.
Right. So I think once again,
damn,
we hit on, yep, I think we've hit on something. So anyway.
So let's go. Three cheers to death. Hip, hip.
So now when that man gets mad at me with my phone, I'll be like, don't fear death.
Go jump off a building, and when on your way down, I bet you'll have an epiphany. I bet you will.
Well,
and you
won't
be
mad at me
anymore.
No, but it's so good because, you know, I mean, what, you know, me and my my rich territory. I mean, this is the good stuff.
Yeah,
and you know, it's almost like, you feel so much energy behind these conversations that you're like, whoa, we're on to something, you know.
We are, though. Truth is, we are onto something. I mean, we are living in the moment, you know, speaking of the processes that we're experiencing, no shame, no hiding, you know, transparency. You know, and at the very least, you know, I welcome everybody, you know, in your own life. You know, don't be afraid to, you know, it's always funny when people say that to me. Don't be afraid. You know, my first thought is, don't you tell me what to do.
No, but be afraid to do it anyway, you know. Like,
there
it's okay
you go.
To be afraid.
That's the line. Be
afraid,
but do it. Because you can't tell yourself not to be afraid. Once you're afraid, you're afraid. But see, that's where, in the condition, fear doesn't move. Fear is the deer in the headlights. Fear, I'll tell you, when I was 15 years old, mm-hmm. five people beat the crap out of me while they were tripping on acid. And all I did was lie in the middle of a snow-covered road in the fetal position praying for it to end. And there were two guys and three girls wailing me. I will tell you something. When I drove into that school and 13 cars came in after me when I was liberating a friend of mine from a bad relationship, immediately, I was definitely afraid because I was like, Goldie's going to get her ass kicked again. Look, this is the night. I was 46 years old or 45.
Right.
And I'm going to get my ass kicked again. Are you kidding me? Like this? And I went, well, this time I'm going to fight back. And I drove like a mad woman on the wrong side of the road in second gear over people's yards until I was surrounded by cops. And by golly, the truth is, I didn't get my ass kicked. Well, look at that. And, you know, we spoke about this last week, about the people in the, I think it was you. It might not have been you. people in the concentration camps, when Viktor Frankl wrote his book, The Meaning of Man, I think it's called, or The Meaning of Life.
You heard someone talking about this, and you told me about it.
Yeah. And first of all, it's a profound book. I read it in college, but just deeply profound.
Viktor Frankl's The Meaning of Life. The first half of the book is his interpretation of the concentration camp. The second half of the book is him creating a new logos for finding beauty.
Wow.
I mean, he was literally able to create a new philosophy of how to see the light and the life and the love in life in a concentration camp. And what's so profound is he actually saw that for the people that gave their lives meaning,
yeah,
they survived the camp. The people that gave up their meaning died.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I don't necessarily know if I lived in a concentration camp. You know, we'll do meaning next life. Get me the hell out of Dodge. You know, I say that with all truth, man. You don't have to necessarily be the one to survive a concentration camp. But I can definitely tell you that when those 13 cars followed me into that parking lot, you know, there was a choice. And it was definitely, I went immediately back to when I was 15 and the five people beat me up. It's like, are you going to lie down, Goldie? Because there really is that choice. We all have that moment where we go, are we going to lie down and pray for it to stop? Or are we going to give them the run of their lives?
Right.
You know, because at least, you know, I've seen it on so many shows that, you know, like the 300, you know, where there's like, you know, crusaders and, you know, like, you know, empires fighting back in, you know, whatever century those were happening. You know, you always see, you know, the leader going, okay, if we die today, we're going to give them the fight of our lives. And, you know, there are really some stories like 300 where they win. You know, or even Lord of the Rings, you know, because once he dropped the ring in, you know, it all collapsed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would definitely say, you know, there is an opportunity here to experience this life lying down and getting the shit kicked out of you. Definitely. And listen, it, you know, whether it kills you or not, been there, done that. You know, it doesn't feel good, but you're grateful to when it stops. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
or,
that's interesting.
Or you
can
choose to, you know, ride the rails. Exactly.
Which I think is a form of breaking the conditioning. You know, when you,
it's absolutely that. Yes.
Yeah, because the ultimate conditioning awful would have been that experience in those concentration camps, and you know, talk about energy feeding. Ooh, you know, and you know, and the
hard,
ultimate,
hard
the ultimate, yeah, yeah, and you know, I mean, to discover beauty after that, you know,
I know it's so profound. It's so profound.
It is profound. It really is.
It
and
is.
Yeah, but there's something there that, you know, it's like when you tell these stories and you tell them out loud to each other, and you know, we're on the radio and we're literally processing as we speak, and you know, it's amazing what shows up as almost like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for, or oh, there's
yeah,
a piece, there's
yeah,
a piece, you know, because, you know, it's not like you can force these awarenesses. That's the thing about, you know, and even when Jen Mancuso calls in, there, hopefully in like 20 minutes, there's no. That's what's so awesome is there's no predicting these awarenesses, or they just, when they show up and it's like, there it is, you know.
Well,
and
I would even go as far as say the opportunity shows up. If you lay down, so to speak, then you'll have another opportunity to
well,
do the courageous
thing. Yeah, right, right.
I believe
yeah,
it repeats
oh,
itself until you get, because ultimately the courage is higher than lying down. I mean, that's just, and maybe not higher. Maybe that's more advanced on the journey.
Yeah.
It's closer to being, to remembering who you are than lying down. But if the journey must continue on, you know,
yeah,
then you'll lie down. There's no shame in lying down. You know, it's just, it's not the journey of the awakening. It's the journey of the going to sleep.
Right, right. And that's just part of the journey, but you know, I mean,
right,
the story gets good when you get up and, you know, like,
well, it definitely,
because
it's miraculous. Think of you really do can break laws of physics on those moments. There's something so, I mean, it's so magical to get out of a situation like, you know, like the 13 cars chasing me. It was just like, you know, and again, when I had my girlfriend next to me, who, I mean, we've already talked about it, it was Alana. When I had Alana next to me, I mean, you know, here's a girl that we have been, you know, we've gone hiking at the chambers at night and have heard, you know, coyotes ripping something to shreds. We have seen multidimensional beings, you know, with black hoods and black faces. You know, I've done a lot of facing fear with Alana, to be quite honest, and a lot of courageous acts with her as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a she's just a sister of mine in that we really just understand the darkness holds our courage, and the darkness is the birthing place for us to be stronger. So we don't try to eliminate the darkness. You know, we play in the darkness consciously.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I invite everybody to do that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking as you were talking, you know, who was the character in the fairy tale who fell asleep against the tree and, like, he slept for so long that his beard grew?
Rip Van Winkle.
Rip Van Winkle. Yeah, because when you know, that's part of the fairy tale, and I don't know how long he was asleep for, but, you know, there it is.
Yeah,
there it is.
Exactly.
You know, we could be like, okay, so we're in our Rip Van Winkle stage.
Right? Yeah,
it's
no. Just, in fact, somebody said that recently. I don't know who said it, and it might have been Santos Finacci, whatever this guy, Santos guy. I think he said we're living out our myths, M-Y-T-H, our myths.
And you know who else said that? And loves Miss
Carolyn Mace, right?
And Mel Z, that woman Mel Z.
Oh, maybe it was her then. I think it was her.
She absolutely loves myths, and that we're living them, and you know, and that they're actually more factual than they are myth, really. And
exactly.
Yeah, it's so funny because Rip Van Winkle, I'm thinking it's like a Brothers Grimm fairy tale, but it was a Washington Irving who, and it was written like in the Catskill Mountains.
And, yes, there's a lot of sleeping Jews up there.
Oh,
I know. We used to go to the Catskills.
You're in your Rip. Yeah, it's like you know. So anyway, but it just reminded me of him who fell asleep, and so you know that's just part of the story, and eventually he woke up, and I don't really know that story very well, but
know that he was asleep, and then he woke up with the long beard, and you know, I think he slept for like 20 years or something, and
right.
No, I just had, because I'll tell you, boy, when I'm in this phase of whatever this is, I just had a thought. It's like, okay, just you know, let Janine finish. It's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally had something to comment on, something about myths, and it's funny because I can feel its presence of this idea, but it's not the idea. I can just wrap myself around it. It's like, oh yeah, it's right here, but I can't tell you what it is.
well, that's okay because you know what's interesting is that. You you'll think of it or not, but
right.
I love that his faithful dog was a wolf. But anyway,
oh nice!
Isn't it interesting that you posted the cup of mystery the other morning, and I was like, ooh, you said, how about a cup of mystery?
That really happened very synchronistically because your cup showed up. I was going to say I Googled it. No, I went through my pictures, and I was going to say to anybody, who would like to join me for a cup of tea?
And I clicked
on your cup, and when I saw the name of a cup of mystery, I was like, oh, that's even better. Who would like to join me of a cup of mystery?
That was fabulous.
Because it just really fits with, you know, because I have been posting a lot about the mystery to me is my awareness of the subtle without knowing how to define it. I don't know how to define it, but I can sense that it's there, because these trees that are smiling at me, I can feel presence. There is presence, and in my humble opinion, it's Mother Nature. Mother Nature is it's not that she's looking out for me, but because I spend enough time in nature, mm-hmm. I can hear her speaking, and she speaks to me through the subtleties of the trees, going, you're okay. It's don't, you know.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
You know, steady as she goes. You're fine. And, you know, it's wonderful because when I'm in the bathroom at Scott's house, you know, I look now at the tree and the tree is smiling at me. I'm like, right on. Hi.
Well, you know, it's really beautiful. You know, it's really beautiful about that, too, to me, because that, to me, she's reflecting back you or an aspect
right
of you. And, you know, yeah. And so, you know, I loved when that woman called in on Thursday and she wanted a reading, and we you didn't have cards, so we, you know, but what ended up happening was that an aspect of nature to me was a prevalent theme, which was the ocean. But you know, that just seems very cohesive to what you're saying, in that Mother Nature is obviously always been there to reflect back to us ourselves. But you know, I think that more now than ever that's available. You know, I mean, I'm sure Thoreau would have said, oh, what are you kidding me? Of course. But, you know, but I really think that that's why we were drawn to name this the Mystical Mother Earth Show, Living Inspired by Nature. It was just the perfect fit. You know, it was the right time, you know. So it's like
definitely. I think more and more. Pardon?
It's like a reflective pool in a way. It's like she's reflecting back to us, and I love when Jennifer Adele goes, "Don't worry about her. She's fine." And it's like,
yeah.
I love
yeah.
when she says that. You know?
I've heard people say that, you know, humans need to help Earth get through
no,
the transition.
No, but I think we project ourselves onto her, and we're actually talking about ourselves. And I think that Mother Nature's going, you know, I'm fine. You know.
Yeah, Mother Nature can handle F5 tornadoes, tsunamis. It really is what we believe is assisting Mother Earth. This is my opinion, anyways. What we believe is assisting Mother Earth is really assisting the humans on Mother Earth. You know, and I'm not saying that Earth definitely doesn't. I don't think she wants to, you know, she doesn't take pleasure in, you know, in wiping out, you know, a large amount of the species.
But I don't think it's an emotion.
But I don't think she'll. Right. Well.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
you know, Earth basically says that they're, you know, they're beings. And to think of them, you know, on some level we can humanize these beings.
What,
but
like
I think
the energy of a tornado is a being? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. The energy of Gaia is a being.
Oh, yes. I thought but I didn't think maybe with a personalized human emotion. Sometimes I think we do that. We make ourselves the other, you know, and I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure that's accurate, you know.
Well, and it's interesting because people have always said, you know, God's not a human. Don't. And it's funny because I'm so done with God. I mean, God, please. God is just an alien. I don't seek to find my answers from God. I don't seek permission from God. But for me, all of us, you know, are the human experience is the overlay, in my humble opinion, on all of this. We are the microcosm of the macrocosm. And, you know, Saturn is a human being and Earth is a human being. And, you know, because it's been so twisted around the God thing, you know, don't put human experiences on God. It's like, well, don't make the alien bloodline God, but the creator of this cosmos is a being, and in my humble opinion, has been an Earth, you know, a human. So those experiences are part of the galactic experience, which are part of the cosmic experience, which are part of the universal experience. You know, because I don't know. I mean, I'm feisty.
Me too.
I am feisty. You know, is it a human? I don't know. But, you know, today, yes. Today I'm going to say, because this is another thing that I do want to tell people. I understand it's definitely okay not to know, but it's also okay to know today and change your mind tomorrow.
Definitely, yeah.
That for me, because it helps me to wrap myself around an experience when I know it, but I'm open to that tomorrow I'll know something completely opposite. I don't have to go to my grave with my beliefs, but for me it comforts me to, I try to get my whole body 100% go with this belief, Goldie, and the more I can get my body wrapped around it, that having that experience allows me then to move through it if it's not the ultimate truth. Okay, well, I've had that experience. Now it creates the fluidity to continue on. But
freedom, the freedom of allowing belief systems to come in and out, let them go. You know, I think that is moving through the mystery, I think that when you say freedom, to me that's freedom. You know, you're allowing yourself to have a belief system, and tomorrow that belief system can be shifted or changed. And you and I both admire people who do that, because you don't have to be, once you believe something doesn't mean I can't let it go, or that means I was wrong all along. I mean, it's like, it's just a learning experience, you know?
It's just
like,
an experience, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a timeline thing. But I do honor people that, you know, do it the other way, where they don't wrap their minds around any belief, you know, and they stay fluid, because, you know, I think there's lots of ways to get to where, you know, this awakening is taking us. And it's just, for me, you know, the influence of my left brain really, it's never satisfied if it doesn't wholly believe it. I remember a good friend of mine from church, when I was working with WARL radio, and we were supporting a politician, the politician that happened to rip him off, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
And my friend Bernie goes, "You're not into politics." And I went, "Today I am." he goes, "No, you can't do that." And I went, "Says who?" I was like, "I'm totally into it. Let's rah-rah politics. Let's go Democrats." And a couple of weeks, obviously, when, you know, everything fell apart, it was like, okay, well, I'm done with politics. And you could tell two things came from that, which was amazing, because to say he's still, you know, a friend of mine. He really saw, he was like, he goes, "You can do that." And I went, "I can." I mean, he goes, "You're 150 devoted, and you know, I'm rah, 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 cheering on the whole process." And when I was done, you know, could care less what the scene was. Because I think it's important for people to know that all our belief systems can come and go like that.
That is funny.
You know, yeah, it was rather humorous, because he was, you know, on committees, and, you know, he was like, "You can't do that." I was like, "Of course I can do that."
"So you're not into politics?" "Today I am."
That's exactly what I said to him.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I've dated guys who are into different sports. Depending on who I was dating would depend on the sports that I was involved in. I mean, it's
so funny.
I'm a professional comedian.
That is very funny. Oh, that's so great.
Well, and it worked for me in my favor, simply because you understand the fluidity of it. And it's like, you know, because I can remember when I was first awakening, people saying things like, "The hand you're dealt is the hand you're dealt."
Mm-hmm.
And before I had actually experienced the shifting that I have, you know, to date, you know, to present, something always gnawed at me and went, No, I can't buy that. I don't buy that. Oh, we have a caller. I don't know if it's your girlfriend or not.
I don't think it is. What's the area code?
505. Oh, their hand's up. We're caught. Hi, area code 505. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jen Mancuso.
Hi
there. Hi, Jen. Hey, Jen. How are you?
Hey. It's a New Mexico area code, that's why.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Welcome. All good. How are you doing?
Good, very good.
Good. Beautiful. Thanks for calling in. Have you been listening at all?
I have been listening, yes.
We're kind of feisty tonight.
No, it's good.
We didn't know what we were going to say, who we were when we first started, but but we knew that we were in the mystery.
Nice.
So,
I appreciate the feistiness.
Right on. There you go.
What did she say? I didn't hear that.
She appreciates it.
Oh, I appreciate the feistiness.
Oh, good. Yeah, Goldie's been making me laugh, which is excellent.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's often Janine who makes me laugh, so it's good to be in her reflection in that for tonight. So you two divine beings have to share your wonderful bluebird story.
Okay. Well, I'm so grateful Jen came on, because the way that I met Jen completely validates the mystery that amazes me moment by moment, and it's always incredibly unexpected, as I tell Goldie, and that's just one of the tip-offs that the magic is and the mystery is working. So Jen, among many things in the movie and film industry, is a screenplay writer, and her mom, who I know, Susan, mm-hmm. had been telling Jen to call me for about 2 years. Jen had never met me, but, you know, her mom said, "Oh, Janine's creative, you should call her, you know, she'll talk about creativity and inspire and maybe, you know, give you some ideas." And so for and every time I saw Susan over the two-year period, I would be like, and she'd go, I wish my daughter would call you. And, you know, I'd be like, well, you know, I'm here. So anyway, okay, so now let's go to last summer, July. Jen hasn't called me yet. So yeah. It's July, and I am in this park that is so beautiful. And I go there to decompress. And I just come home from L.A., which was kind of stressful with my son. He was going through some relationship issues. And so that was stressful. So I'm running in this park, and I come around the bend, and I see sitting on this wildflower the most beautiful bluebird just sitting there all by itself. And bluebirds aren't really, they're seen here, but they're rarely seen. But they are around. So I just stand there, and I watch the bluebird. And it's so stunning that, you know, I'm kind of captivated. So about after 3 minutes, the bluebird flies away, and I go home, and I think, man, that was so stunning. I'm going to Google an image of the bluebird and send it to my son and just say, look what I just saw, you know. So I Google one image in particular, and under the image is a quote by Anais Nin. And so this is completely random, and I'm just following my, you know, my kind of quote instincts of creativity, but not knowing that. And under the bluebird, it says, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I love Anais Nin. In fact, one of my characters in my book, Magic Gown, is named after her, Princess Anais. So I'm thinking, that is stunning. That's beautiful. So I share it with my son. I share it with several people during that time. You know, and it's just something that was special for me and like a message to me. So now that's July. So now I'm in my studio in the end of August, mm-hmm. and I'm working on some art, and I don't realize that I missed a call. And so I go, ooh, and it's from Jen, who I have never met. And the message says, oh, I'd love to, you know, I happen to come from New Mexico to New York City. My mom's been talking about you for quite a while. I'd love to come see you. So I was like, oh, great. So I call her. We set up an arrangement for a week later. I'd say, listen, I'm going to pick you up at the train. This is great. Can't wait to meet you. Can't believe you're in New York. How wonderful. Yeah. Just as I'm about to get off the phone, it's like out of my head I go, and I don't even think of this. This isn't like, let me tell my, you know, every client I tell is, I say, Jen, just be aware of your dreams and all these kinds of aha moments. And she goes, oh, that's so funny that you should say that, because I called you because I had a dream. And I'm like, don't tell me now. Just, you know, tell me when you see me.
Hold on to it.
Hold on to it.
Keep it a cliffhanger.
Right. So, you know, because I'm like, keep it, hold it, you know. So then I pick her up a week later. We go to my therapy room where we're doing creativity. And I go, okay, tell me the dream. And she goes, well, I was in an amphitheater next to this woman, and a flock of bluebirds flew over me. And I was like, what? And she goes, well, that's why I call, you know. So anyway, Jen, do you remember the dream? Because I do, if you don't. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you share the rest?
Sure. And so, well, with the bluebird was like flying around, and these two petals fell, or like these two like feathers that turned into petals fell from the bluebird, and I caught them in my hand.
Oh no.
And so the woman that was, you know, sitting there, she's like, she said, you know, you could see. And I was like, see what? You know, I didn't know what she was talking about. And she's like, you can see. That's, you know, and I was just holding these petals, and they just kept like kind of shifting colors. They were like metallic blue, but it was really like brilliant blue. It was a lucid dream. It was very like, you know, just clear. And so this woman was kind of guiding me through.
Yeah, and basically you can see, meaning she, you know, has vision. And, you know, to me, the connection to call me out of nowhere after a bluebird dream, I mean, I was just so, it was so validating about how the subtle, creative, you know, visionary works, that Jen and I would then become connected because of the bluebird. She had no clue that I had this bluebird experience. Then I told her that quote, which was so fitting. And then, you know, and it ignited, you know, it's like, it's a gift for both ways. I mean, it ignited in me just this inspired, Jen, this is your creative ally. Would you ever make a piece of initiation art? And she was like, oh, what? And,
yeah.
and within 2 weeks, there was a little bluebird initiation art piece that, you know, the whole thing, I have to say, was just stunning and magical. And like, this is a year. Well, how later is it? Like,
it's almost a year. It's close to a year. Yeah.
And
well, wait.
And,
can I ask a question, Ginny? Let me interrupt for a sec.
Sure.
Only because, Jen, I want to know, when you woke up from the dream.
Uh huh.
So what was your experience? I realize the dream was lucid, but when you woke up, so talk me through how you actually come to calling Janine. Like, what's going through your experience that the bluebird leads you, or the clarity, or the woman guiding you? What led you to calling her?
Well, so every morning I try to write down my dreams, and so I wrote it down, and I called my mom about it, because I was like, you know, I was like, I had this dream about this bluebird. I was back, you know, I was in Santa Fe. I was like having, you know, and I was asking her, I'm like, you know, what do you think I should do? And she's like, you need to call Janine.
Is that fantastic?
Yeah.
But you see, your mom, like, your mom obviously, you know, is right tapped in too, because.
Totally, yeah.
Right? Because how did she know that? That's amazing. Mm-hmm. You have the dream. The woman tells you you can see. You tell your mom. Your mom tells you to call. It's just so, like, I didn't even know that piece. You know, and
and Jennifer, do you agree that Janine has an exquisite ability to see the subtle?
Yeah.
I mean, have you experienced that in your working, playing? Right? I mean, because.
Definitely.
You know, I tell people all the time, you know, you should, you know, call Janine. You want to be in connection with Janine, because she's helping me see the subtle. I've always had a sense of the subtle, but Janine just sees it like, you know, like nobody's business. Janine can see the subtle. And when you hang out with people that can see it, you know, I'm learning how to see it in myself, you know, which is...
Well, you know what's beautiful about the interaction, Goldie, though, it, with you and with Jen and with people who are on that, that, quote, wavelength or something? Because when you say that to me, it's actually because you let, like you let me see the subtle for you. Like, that doesn't, not everybody, that doesn't happen with everybody because it really does take the two. Like, you know, like you'll say, you know, wow, you're giving me such great information, but I'm like, but you let me. It's like a two-way, it's a two-way connection, you know, and the appreciation that I always have, and that's why, you know, with Jen, it's the two-way thing between the two of us that that connection couldn't have occurred if it wasn't for both of us. And and my connection with the subtle for you could not happen unless it was you receiving it and letting me be that for you. So it's so much fun for me to have that in my life because that doesn't happen with everybody. I mean, I can't tell you, like, that's why I get ignited and inspired and then I'm almost activated and then, you know, it's almost like I'm cooperating with something because the whole initiation art thing, that's how that all came about for me in the first place was that I seem to be cooperating with some, you know, of something of myself, but something other and subtle. And now, 17 years later, truly I get to, you know, kind of help other people create initiation art, which is affecting their life. And that's amazing to me. I mean, that truly is amazing. But I can also tell you that this does not happen with everybody. It's like it's got, the, you know, whatever that...
No, there's a sense of readiness. I think I think the people that work with... I think anybody working with the subtle, and Jen, you know, share how you feel with this as well. From my perspective, if you're ready to work with the subtle, it's a truth that will defy... First, it will defy your beliefs, you know, because the conditioning is really often quite the opposite of the subtle. It'll take you in a completely different direction. And so there's a willingness, at least for me, I was willing to let go of my conditioned belief simply because I had reached a point in my life where I had kind of, you know, through therapy, and I mean regular therapy, traditional therapy, it had led me to, okay, we've discussed my childhood, I get this, but it still doesn't change the fact that, you know, I'm in my mid-30s and I'm a whack job. You know, I don't know how to love. My relationships are shot. Okay, I don't do the drugs anymore and I'm not crazy with the sex. But the truth is, I didn't know who I was and I didn't know how to relate to my world until I started understanding the subtlety is really, it's like, it's the world that's built. It's like the building blocks of the universe. You know, it's kind of knowing your world before it actually manifests as a concrete space.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the realm that Jen and I connected on because that's exactly right. Because you know, that woman sitting next to her that said, "You can see." I mean, that was, you know, that was a truth, and she can. And, you know, then and I get to be part of her process, which is still amazing to me. And then just to, you know, another subtlety, Goldie, is that when Jennifer Adele was on and she pulled, you know, I called in for fun and she did my totem. And, you know, one of the second totem was the wild horse. And then Jen and I had like we talked on the phone because Jen went back to Santa Fe and, Jen goes, "Oh, yeah, these wild horses are showing up on my property." And I just smiled. And so I'm like, "Oh, my God, there it is again." You know, there's this wonderful, subtle connection. Right? And
definitely. It's like confirmation.
Confirmation.
Confirmation to follow that, you know, regardless of, you know, whether or not while you're doing it, you're going, what am I doing? It doesn't matter. It's just, that's what, you know, and that's what, you know, when I love working with Jen, because that's what, that's the realm we work on, is in the subtle, you know, so the thing about it is, I can't tell you how many people she gave me permission to share the Bluebird story, because it was so amazing that, and such a great example of, you know, letting people know, you know, here's an example of the subtle, the creative forces, the connection to each other, and, you know, if you just follow it, you know, don't try to explain it, just follow it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know the word that keeps coming to mind? Lucid. It's the lucid part of the journey.
Yeah.
You
and
know what I mean?
That's what her dream was. Yeah, lucid.
Yeah, exactly. Because even in the dream state, she was lucid.
Yeah, so yep. Now there's this beautiful little bluebird, and, you know, and this bluebird is kind of, you know, been talked about in British Columbia on a radio and awoke somebody's hummingbird dream, and, you know, see, isn't that amazing?
So wait a minute. So let me ask Jen. So, Jen, what was your initiation? Are you, if you're open to sharing, what was your initiation art? You know, what was, you know, like, I did Infinite Trust. What did you do, and what are some of the experiences you've had since creating the initiation art?
Well, it definitely, I think I was kind of like going through a period where I felt like I had writer's block, you know?
Okay.
And coming from like, well, my job can be very just detail-oriented, which is a little, like, it's the opposite of what I was, the direction I'd like to be going into. And I just was constantly like, you know, just searching for an answer, like, you know, what's going to open me up, you know? And with this dream, it definitely triggered something, and with starting the art, it kind of like all of a sudden like a story was coming to me, and it was just opening me up again, because I felt like I was just kind of like in this, like, you know, in like an incubation period. I wasn't really like creating anything. I wasn't, you know.
And what did you call it? I'm just, you know, we often name it. I'm just curious. And you might not have.
No,
but
did
you have a name for it?
Just the bluebird.
Oh, no, okay.
Well,
hey, right on.
Well,
you know,
I called it her creative ally.
Oh, there you go. Okay, right on.
Yeah. And
definitely.
See, now, it's interesting, because when you say that name, as soon as Janine said creative ally, I mean, for me, this flood of, like, oh, wow, yeah, of course, to somebody who feels they have writer block, you know, you would want to connect with the aspect of self that's creative. You know?
Yeah.
Does what's in a name? Oh, I don't know, besides everything, you know, because for me it was about trusting myself. So Infinite Trust, just, it really helped me. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling this to the whole listening audience, when you create these pieces of art, the shifting that was taking place was, you know, gigundous.
Yeah, definitely.
It was, so, you know, didn't it open up like almost immediately after you created this?
Definitely, and it's just like it's just started something, and you just want to keep going. So
exactly,
it's
exactly.
Like there's momentum.
Goldie likes that word. Yes,
yeah.
I agree. I agree. I think because it's such a brilliant way to very effortlessly, I mean, find an ally in any aspect that, you know, I needed trust. So
yeah.
I created this thing out of branch, you know, trust. And because, you know, we're so hung up in the conditioning to believe that, you know, the courses we got to take, or the DNA upgrades we got to get, or the vitamins we got to take, or the exercise, or blah, 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 blah. You know, and Janine goes, you know, hey, well, grab a little thing, you know, grab some stuff from nature. You know, a little glue, a little paint. You know, you want to throw in a little crystal or a little glitter. Okay, and voila.
It's
brilliant.
Therapeutic too. It's just
absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, from my end, it's so unpredictable as to when that'll come out of my mouth, and it's not like, you know, okay, I spent 3 hours with you, so now I'm going to, this is when I mention initiation art. I, you know, it's always a spontaneous moment that comes out of nowhere that even I'm going, oh, and it's the person who takes that and runs with it. There's not even a convincing. It's like, okay, what? Oh, yes, okay. And that's
exactly.
When
it's a knowing.
That's when there's an opening, you know. And
definitely.
It's just, you know, it's so much fun for me to be able to do that with someone, and then they then they receive it, and then they're off and running with their own self initiation piece, and you know, and then. I mean, the beauty is that, you know, Jen and I have been talking since then, you know, once in a while, you know, and I get to share this great story, and, you know, Goldie's been loving it, and I couldn't wait to have you on, and you know, was so excited that you were coming on, and it affects people, because people hear it, you know, I've been talking about it now for a while, but it does, it affects people.
It's
and
a game changer.
It is a game changer.
It is a game changer. It is.
Yeah.
It's
the bridge of understanding that it's not about our mind. You know, we're
exactly
again, the conditioning is telling us, you know, hit the pavement, get your resume out there, hard work or no rewards. You know, I mean, we all have our father or that, you know, the masculine voice in our head that, you know, that taught us these rules of success and how we'll achieve it, and none of it applies today. It's like, you know, really it is the land of opportunity is smack dab in, you know, in the middle of the imaginary forest and the imagination and, you know, things that fly, including us, and, you know, and driftwood and paint and sitting there like a child playing and not forcing, you know, something to become productive. Because, Jen, I want to tell you a story real quick. A good friend of mine wrote a screenplay in 21 days.
Nice.
And the screenplay was about her meeting. Well, she was the character. I don't think any of you guys can write books, plays, or otherwise without it. You know, it's really an expression of self, you know,
definitely,
whether we're conscious of it or not. So, but right, we are conscious of it. So it was about her meeting her soulmate.
Okay.
And 3 months later, you know, he found her. She does a radio show. He found her on the air. They're working on their third year. Her manifesting abilities, you know, because she was like, so write a screenplay. And I'm like, I can barely write a prose. You know? I tend to talk. I don't tend to write. But it has always been like this significant milestone that it was. I mean, she literally just stopped answering the phone for 21 days and came out because it came through her. It was just she's an incredibly creative woman.
Yeah.
She actually kind of, you know, she's like creativity on crack in the sense of she doesn't balance it with the stillness as well. You know, and I'm always kind of pulling her reins back, going, no, it's okay, today it's okay to just sit and be, because, I mean, she runs businesses, and she's fabulous. But
like she channeled it.
Pardon?
It's almost like she channeled it if she did it so quickly, you
absolutely.
Know, in 21 days.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, she
yeah,
did
that's
it.
Like a
you
spurt
know,
thing, you know. It comes, mm-hmm. and then it's, there it is. It
then
falls
like,
onto the page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's,
you know,
that's
and to her credit,
neat.
Like I said, and to all of us, if you get those inspirations, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, clearly, you know, somehow create. I'm very happy with, you know, when I speak on the radio, I learned early, you know, I would speak of myself, you know, going through these processes, and then I would live through them, you know, and I have told people, you know, Janine especially, since she's, you know, a co-host with me, but people that come on the air, I'm like, listen, you want to set an intention and hit it up into some intensity, say it on the air, because for whatever the magic that happens where there's multiple people listening and multiple people experiencing you saying that intention, it does come quicker.
Yeah, it multiplies.
So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
it amplifies, you know,
yeah.
And
exactly.
Yeah, and you know, that's the beauty of, and I appreciate you so much coming on, because one of the, you know, that mm-hmm. saying that I found with the bluebird, you know, applies so much to being creative and like, you know, throwing yourself into a story. And, you know, and a lot of people are, oh, you're still writing that again, or, you know, oh, you're still working on that, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
You know, we could be working on something for 4 years. I mean, sometimes it happens in 21 days, and sometimes it takes 4 years, and, you know, the
yeah.
process is the process. And so,
yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And I'm telling you that the courage that it takes to stand behind your creative process when, in fact, it may not make sense to other people. And that, you know, initiation mm-hmm. art may not make sense to people, but that's not the point. It's the mystery. It's the following of something that, you know, is unexplainable, and yet it's so
yeah,
there
right
because,
up.
You know, so that's
right
that's
up.
What that's what I am, you know, it inspires me, it ignites me, it's really where I feel my most alive. And, you know, and when I can find someone who gets that and works with me that way, it's like, oh, this is fun, you know. And Jen really I know Jen appreciates my you know, my input, you know, which is so great.
Jen, will you share, listen, I'm Janine, one of Janine's biggest fans, but could you share in your own words your experience of working with Janine?
She's helped me so much. I can't even.
She's helped me so much. The wild horses showed up.
The wild horses, exactly. Like, oh my God. No, it's such. It's, you know, when you talk about like igniting, like Janine definitely does that for me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And
I know that.
You know, she gets me excited about it again because, you know, you have those moments where you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? You know. You know, and you feel stuck, or you're just kind of self-doubting, and then
there
you just
it
get
is,
back on
self-doubt.
Track. Yeah.
Yeah, but Janine doesn't
yeah, I mean,
let
that's
yourself.
That's the theme
that.
Of
Janine
all my stories. It's the character that gets, you know, she. Then that's me. I mean, you know, and that's why, you know, I'm so good at talking to Jen about these things, because I'm that. You know, it's like the self-doubt can just put us in these places, and it's the overcoming of the self-doubt, but they
exactly.
make for great stories. You know, so.
Definitely.
Yeah, so our characters, you know.
Well, because I think it's a journey we all have to go through. We
absolutely.
All have been, we've been born into the condition of doubt, and if we want to move through it, you know, we're just living proof that, you know, it's not like the journey ends, but you can overcome self-doubt. I mean, you know,
well,
Jen,
Colby,
I don't
what's
know
our
if
favorite
you figured
word?
It out or not.
Defiant,
I am one cocky son of a bitch.
You know, we love that word,
defiant,
Jen.
Defiant, absolutely.
Yeah.
Be defiant. I am such a poster child now for defiant.
Because you have, you know, self-doubt's always ready to go, what are you doing? And it's like, you have to be defiant. And that's why a lot of my little girl characters are defiant, because they have to be in order to break the self-doubt, you know, paradigm. And
paradigm,
so,
right on.
Yeah.
Right
on.
Definitely.
So,
Definitely.
So Jen, I was thinking that maybe you and I should write a screenplay together.
Sure, I would love to.
I know. I was thinking that. Right, Goldie?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. She
and
wasn't
I said
thinking
it on
it.
The,
she's,
and
yeah,
I said
she's
it on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a fabulous connection. Even if you just write about the way you guys met, on you know what I mean? Write about what you know.
That's always what, you know, you go for is the you take an incredible life experience or those subtle magical, almost somebody could miss them, but you don't miss them, and then you put them in your character, and then you've got the beginning of a great story. And you know,
yeah.
I agree. It's like, wow, you know, that could be so much fun. So,
have any of your plays been published, or I don't know what the word is for screenplay?
Produced? One of them got close to being produced, but I've won several screenwriting competitions. And
okay.
So the development part's always the tricky part. So
okay.
Not quite there yet.
Well, listen, and you realize it's a journey. It's a journey. So
definitely.
You know, this is, you know, because nothing could tell me that you're closer to the journey than hooking up with Janine. And I don't mean by writing the screenplay or not, because I really believe all of us, there's this circle
mm-hmm.
of people.
Mm-hmm.
We do tend to be women, but that's not a mandate by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the ones that, you know, well, it's just like what Janine was saying, you know, we're the ones that have the passion reigns. You know, we've endured the criticisms for our passions, and there's just a space in the energy right now that
mm-hmm.
feels to me that if you have a project and you're passionate about it, or you know, or you're just living in your passion, the creation part, it will be created. It might not be created to, you know, because like me and Janine have a big thing where we go, you know, we've noticed what fame, you know, how that kind of looks in the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Britney Spears and, you know, the Beyoncés and, you know, we don't sell our souls. There is no price for our soul. You know, that is, we do not need millions of people to confirm a success.
No,
but we do indeed need it to be part of this dimension to control our success.
The connection, you know.
Yeah, where our bodies and our experiences, because, you know, I'm on the air for 6 years, and, you know, if I have 30 people listening per show, I'm a happy camper. And
definitely.
Because the 30 people listening to the show are 30 people genuinely going through significant change. You know, this is not just the change that, you know, attracts the masses, but the change that, you know, we hang out in the hot kitchen and we integrate our, you know, our shadow sides, and, you know, and we're just
mm-hmm.
genuinely, you know, we're soulful beings and experiencing that. And so I would say, you know, definitely, you know, and I know you're not, but don't give up. Don't give up. You know, just you know, you got some great, you got a great conductor on your train.
I know.
Yeah, I'm telling you, everybody, Janine Kimmel, if you're in any way in the creative process, she's one of the most magical beings. I mean, she changed my life. She changed my life when she entered it, and it's an amazing. I've never had an ally as her, never, and now everything's an ally because she's showing me that everything's an ally.
Isn't that
really
fun?
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know,
I often think of her,
thank you, Goldie. I often think of Herman Melville, and I go, you know, he wrote. One, he wrote his first book, he wrote his second book, and they were really sweet books, and then he wrote Moby Dick. And, you know, it's like,
right,
you know, you just keep, you keep writing, and you keep writing, and you keep writing, and, you know, you just follow it, and that's what I'm doing, and I know Jen's doing that, and sometimes she'll put it down to go to work and do all that tedious stuff, and, you know, that's part of it, I know, but the magic's
right.
still there waiting. You know, I know it's still there waiting. Because those characters, once they're created, they're alive, and so
that's,
you know,
exactly right.
That's right. So, and I haven't forgotten any of them.
And they'll wake you up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go, "Listen, I need a life now.
Yeah.
Put it on paper because I need a life." That's
true.
That's funny. I love it.
So can I ask? Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to know how the wild horses were.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh,
are the wild horses still coming in, Jen?
You know, I saw them about a week ago, but I have not seen them. It's been pretty warm out, but we saw one, actually, one of them. Not the there's usually 10 of a group, you know, 10 of them.
Wow, that's so amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. They
that's
just hang
fun.
Out in the front yard and graze and eat and play and roll around.
Amazing.
Yeah, if there was ever a symbol of freedom, I would call the wild horse, you know, just a gorgeous symbol of freedom.
Absolutely.
You know, don't break it, man. Don't break it. Let it be.
Spirit.
It.
Total spirit.
Yeah.
So true. So true.
Well, thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, no, so Jen, do you have any closing thoughts, feelings, or anything?
No, I'm just grateful for this experience. This is really cool. So.
Well, we're grateful. I'm grateful to you. Anytime, my friend. Anytime you want to share something, promote, you know, babble. We have minimal requirements here, but boy, we have a really good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right on. I appreciate you understanding that, because that's how the heart speaks. The heart just wants to share. That's all it wants to do is share, because it feels good sharing.
Definitely.
I'm really glad you called tonight. Really glad. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
I'm sure we'll talk
to you. And Janine, where can people find you?
Okay. Well, they can find me on Facebook, you know, Janine L. Kimmel, or I have a website, which is jlkimmel.com, KIMMEL.com, or springtreepress.com. So, you know, if anyone wants to write me and they're interested in initiation art, just contact me.
Right on.
So,
right on.
Yeah. Thanks, Goldie. This was great.
Outstanding. Thank you, babe. Thank you, Jen. Really, anytime. Join us when you want to set an intention, you know. Like I said, when you come on the air and you say things on the air, it absolutely amplifies. So, yeah, you're welcome,
Jen,
to play.
I know. Thanks, Janine.
No worries. When the bluebird calls to you, come back.
Yeah.
All right. And Monday night, you can find us here at 8 o'clock, anotherrealityshow.com. I'm incredibly grateful for everything, especially my best friend, Janine Kimmel. I love and adore you, my sweet friend. Yeah, you're
Thank
amazing.
You. Thank you.
You're
I love
very,
you too.
Very welcome. Yeah.
And you too, Jen.
So, Thanks for flying with us tonight. Exit to the left. Wait till we land. Okay. All right. Well, until next week, we love you. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.